begin with one simple verse here this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, we come to you this morning. Once again, Lord, this day is viewed by many as a new start. And Lord, fact is it can be for all of us here. I pray, Father, you might shed some light on that this morning. There's so much falsehood that revolves around truths these days, and we pray you'd help us, give us the right perspective on things. If there's somebody here lost, as somebody's already prayed this morning, we pray that you'd deal with their hearts about their need for salvation. We're grateful for your goodness to us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I remind you something most of you are well aware of. I feel no obligation whatsoever to preach on a seasonal subject on Q. However, in light of that, Happy New Year's. This time last year, I recall that I preached a message on things that will go right in 2011. Thankfully, what I said had nothing to do with the economy or the stock market. And I believe what I said is true. God did remain on the throne, was still in control. Jesus Christ's work has been perfect throughout 2011, just like it will be in 2012. God does still answer your prayers and did this year, if you prayed. The Word of God is still the center of things. The Lord still has plenty profitable things for you to do. And the blessed hope is still the greatest theme that we've got. It's the greatest hope that we have. Amen? Those things remain true in 2011. I believe that I was a true prophet in that respect, because all of that came true. And I want you to know it'll be true in 2012 too. Now, Ecclesiastes 1, end of the passage says, "And there is no new thing under the sun." Again, I feel no obligation to preach a seasonal message on Q. However, the world's delusive preoccupation with new things requires me to say something. The world is almost entirely obsessed with new stuff. I was on the way down to see Ian yesterday, and they were already getting stuff ready at Times Square. I didn't see the ball go down or the ball go up, wherever the ball goes. I didn't stay up for it. But they were already saying hundreds of thousands of people at, well, it was 5 o'clock here, were gathering at Times Square for New Year's. And Lady Gaga was going to perform. I'm sitting there thinking, is there a soul on this earth that I would desire to see less than Lady Gaga perform? You know, if I ever quit being a pastor and decide to go into rock and roll, I'm going to be Papa Boo Boo. Are you serious? People think Lady Gaga is the thing. It's a wild thing, isn't it? But New Year's has been celebrated, not necessarily on this day, but across the world for many, many millennia, really. I mean, the Chinese have done it just about forever, as long as there has been a China. And ultimately, the thing that always strikes me about this time of year is all the buildup is really just an excuse for another drunken bash, because nothing ever changes. Nothing really is ever new. Think about, as I mentioned in Sunday school, a new political cycle starting up here now. And was Iowa yesterday? I believe it was. Don't even know who won. But I mean, it's going to start up again. The politicians are going to come forward and promise new prosperity, A new day, new hope, new change. I'm so tired of change, I can hardly stand it. But new. And it's not going to change a thing. The media, talking heads, are going to paste on their smiles and spray lacquer on their hair, clunk, clunk, and pretend that things that are happening in the world are somehow new. A kitty was rescued by the fire truck. That's a new thing. It's a wonderful thing. And nothing new ever changes. Nothing new ever happens. All sectors of society, education, politics, culture, they all stand in hope today that something new will happen, that things will change. Medicare people, Social Security people think that there's going to be new changes that saves Social Security. The stock market people, they think something's new going to happen and save the stock market. No. I was thinking, I'm not sure, but new. I went shopping yesterday for my wife, grabbed some stuff. You know, I decided, I don't know if they can improve toilet paper any more than it already is. I think we may be at the end of the curve there. I mean, it's already soft, it's already absorptive, and it's already perfumed, so what else are you going to do with toilet paper? Don't look now, but I think we've reached the technological limits of potato chips. How much better are they really going to make potato chips? So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, isn't this delusional repetition of new year, new Pine Sol, new improved detergents, new improved potato chips, new improved everything, isn't the new delusional preoccupation just proof that nothing's new and nothing changes? The Bible's right again. Things this year in our country, as far as moral things and spiritual things, did not improve. They got worse. All of the trumpet fanfare of, knew this and knew that and improved this and new hope and new change and new days, all that stuff is followed by a parade of broken down porta potties. It's just, there is nothing new under the sun. Now, with that said, I'll tell you this. I am not genuinely and truly and completely cynical. My cynicism is based around the fact that man doesn't know what he's doing. My cynicism is based on the fact that man, of his own will, of his own power, makes nothing better. That's where I'm at. I believe that, I'll tell you what I do believe. I'm actually going to tell you something here in a second. I do believe there can be something new under the sun in 2011, or 2012, not 2011 now. I do actually think there can be something new in 2012, but don't look for CBS or NBC to report it, and I wouldn't look to contemporary Christianity to bring it about, okay? I'll tell you why I think it happens. I don't think it happens on a nationwide scale. I think it happens right here in this spot. So let me preach to you for a while, just for a little while, on genuine new stuff in 2012. Genuine new stuff. Now, I have nothing this morning to say about the economy or the stock market or the Vikings. The way I figure it, things are winding down in time. I believe we're coming up to the rapture real fast. I will say that there's a possibility, I think, that perhaps the economy, perhaps the stock market, perhaps the Republican Party, perhaps this, that, or the other, perhaps there can be a slight upswing and another slight downswing and an upswing and a downswing. But as far as things changing anew and there really being something new, I don't think so. All right? I tell you what I can say, though. I can espouse what I believe is a true vision for something new here amongst us. I don't know about Grace Church and Calvary Baptist Church in Timbuktu. I don't know about that. I know it can be the case here. Let me talk to you about some things that can be new, genuine new stuff in 2012. First of all, you know this verse. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I'm not interested in entering into a debate with Solomon. I'm sure that he would beat me. He's a better debater than me. He said there was nothing new under the sun. Actually, there is. Somebody that's born again is a new creature in Christ. Now, he's not the first guy to get born again, so in that respect, it's not new that somebody can be born again. But if somebody is born again, there is something new under the sun this morning. Somebody that was not born again and not a new creature yesterday is a new creature today, right? That said, I tell you what, folks, this world markets everything as new. It's still the same old political shenanigans, one cycle after another. It's still the same bathroom cleaners that are renewed in some mysterious way. There is always church growth strategies where you too can renew the growth of your church. All that sort of stuff. Okay, I understand that. But there really is something new. And that is if somebody gets born again. Now look, here's what I'm saying this morning. If you need to be born again, be born again. And it'll be something new in 2012. But I will say this. Beyond that, we could sure use some new creatures around here. Right here. Right? I didn't have the pleasure of leading many of you to Christ. Some I did. Some I didn't. A lot of you guys came into this mess by marriage, or you moved here and relocated, or you were in a charismatic church somewhere, an apostate church somewhere, and got word and grew a little bit and came around this direction. And for all that, I'm glad. For those of you that have been here for a while, you've certainly seen some casualties. You're reminded that we are in a battle. It's not like a war. It is a war. There are genuine familial tragedies. There are genuine individual spiritual tragedies that have occurred amongst us, right? And I don't know any way to lessen that other than for me and you to do right. In the meantime, knowing that once in a while, the devil picks somebody off, right? That all said, I'll tell you this. In 2012, what you need to make sure and do is to make sure and midwife somebody into being a new creature, okay? We sure could use some more new creatures around here. Folks, there is nothing that takes the place. There is nothing that substitutes for you getting somebody saved in church, discipled, helped, and plugged in. There is nothing like that in the world. And I tell you what, if you want to make genuine changes, if you want to see something new happen, you have not many categories to work with here. You're going to see by the end of the day, I think. There is nothing new genuinely under the sun. If you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, there will be something new under the sun. Not like it's never been done before, but for that person, they will be a new creature in Christ under the sun. You need to make it a point to make sure in 2012 and get somebody in the family of God by being born again, a new creature. I'll remind you of a couple of things. You can lead folks to Christ that I can't. Now, if you have a family member you want me to visit, I'll visit them. If you have an old school buddy that you're scared to talk to, give me their address. I'll go talk to them. Fact of the matter is, you know what they're going to feel like? They're going to feel like you sicked your preacher on them. And so maybe they'll pray with me, maybe they'll get saved, but usually not. Tell the fact is, you are going to have to lead your old schoolmates to Christ. If your mother or father or sister or brother or aunt or uncle is to get saved, you're going to have to lead them to Christ. You're going to have a burden for them, because if you send me, I'm going to knock the door, I'm going to say, I'm Kyle Stevens, pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. In fact, I'm the pastor of your son. There you go. Ah, yeah. Okay, I thought you would look like this. And at the very best, mostly, they're going to be nice to me, polite to me, and some of them won't even do that. But I'm not going to win them. You're going to win them, okay? I just want you to know that you can reach people that I never can. And if I were you, what I would do is to make absolutely sure that I am in the place to win somebody to Jesus Christ. I got to lead somebody to Christ this year at camp. Now, here's a profound thing. Do you know why I got to lead somebody to Christ at camp? He said, well, you're a pastor. Well, that might be part of it. But the real reason I got to lead somebody to Christ at camp this year is because I paid my $185 and went to camp. I was there. If you pray, maybe God will give you the money to go to Eastern Europe and lead some folks to Christ there. So what if the Lord doesn't give me the money? Well, there's always visitation. That'll cost you $5 in gas to get home and back. A lot of times it doesn't happen. We spend a lot of time knocking doors and nobody gets saved. However, once in a while, those folks that are the most faithful are perhaps those that need the most encouragement. Once in a while, we pick somebody off and they actually get saved at the doorstep. If I were you and I don't have the money to go to Mexico or camp or whatever, I'd make sure I went street preaching. I'd commit to making absolutely positive that I saw to it that I got on the street with my church and passed out tracts to lost people. Okay? Put yourself in a place to ambush a sinner somewhere. Stand in a public restroom and when they go in the stall, slip a tract underneath. What are they going to do? Chase you out of the bathroom? I don't think so. Say, are you serious, Brother Stevens? Use tracts without our church name on, but yeah. I'm just telling you folks, you don't have many categories of things to work with here. Most things have already been done. Somebody already climbed Everest. Somebody already trekked all the way across Antarctica. Somebody already made the North Pole. And most of you here, unless I'm missing my guess, are not going to set a new world record in the bench press this year, nor in the mile. So you better find something you can do, and I'll tell you what you can do. You can lead somebody anew to Jesus Christ. And you know why you won't if you don't? Because life happens. Because you get busy. I know how this goes. Man, I run around town and I run to the bank, and I got to go somewhere after the bank so I don't give a track to the gal at the bank. And the same thing happens at Walmart. So a couple years pass and I have a stroke, go to the hospital. Sure, I witness to a nurse and witness to somebody that I'm rehabbing with and all that. But boy, I get out of the hospital and all I do, it seems like, for the next year is rehab. Still rehabbing. And the rest of the time, I'm tired and napping or preparing for a sermon or preparing for school. Preparing for institute, preparing to preach. Folks, life happens. I'll tell you why. If you're not careful, you won't accomplish anything new this year. It's because life happens. You've got a job, you got taxes, you got a car, you got kids, you got grandkids, you got this, you got that, you got the other. If you're not careful, somewhere along the way of all the details of life happening, there's a element of slothfulness in Christian human nature. And it becomes convenient to do nothing. It becomes convenient for you to never make the trip to St. Cloud to pass out tracts. It becomes convenient even though you live within 10 miles of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You'll come Wednesday night. Thank God for it. You'll come Sunday morning, Sunday night. Thank God for it. And if we're having food on Sunday night, you will, bless God, be there 30 minutes early. And the fact is, you don't venture out to visitation. That's the reason you're not going to lead anybody to Christ. The fact is, if you're not going to go out publicly with your church to try to win somebody to Christ, the chances are fairly slim that you're actually going to do it on your own. Because that's the way we are. Once you get a little slack, you get a lot slack. And that's the way things go. I'm telling you, you won't get a chance to change many things in 2012 anew. But you can lead somebody anew to Jesus Christ. There's this then as well. So first of all, new creatures. We need some more new creatures around here. Some new converts would be very nice. Amen? Look in Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. First of all, new creatures. Genuine new stuff in 2012. Can you believe you're saying 2012 now? Man, the Mayan calendar is supposed to end and we're going to start all over, and they say that in conjunction with the Mayan calendar, all these catastrophic events are going to happen. They don't know what they're talking about. We got a rapture to go through first, then a tribulation. So, I don't know when it is. I'm telling you, it ain't far. You don't have many days left to accomplish something new. I would make sure that I did not leave this life in the rapture without having accomplished something new. You need to lead somebody to Christ this year. Look in Ephesians 4. Go down to verse 23, where it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now, I know I preached on this prior to winter revival with Brother Havman. Look in Colossians 3. I preached an entire message on being renewed, so I'm not going to spend an awful lot of time with this morning. Colossians 3:10. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." Tell you what you can do that's new. It'll be new for you. You can be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? Again, I preached on this, I realized, but I tell you what. You can accomplish something in your own life in 2012 that did not get accomplished in 2011 or 2010. Or 2009 or 2008 or all the way back. Okay? You know, folks, what I have to do, my Bible here, I learned a while back, many years ago, that highlighter pens just bleed, right? And so I started buying colored pencils. And I got all kinds of color combinations and everything else in here. None of their... Somebody looked at my Bible and says, "Ooh, is that color coordinated?" I said, "No. It just looks pretty. The colors don't mean anything. They just stick out, okay?" And that's the point. But I learned this. I color some verse that, you know, sticks out to me this morning in my Bible reading in red, heavy red, by a month later when I read my Bible back through at that place. That color will be faded because it's just a pencil. And I have to go back in and I have to color it back in some more and darken that color. You know, folks have a false idea about things. Some folks probably here think that I am teaching and preaching stuff that I learned in school. Folks, you give my memory too much credit. You give my intellectual abilities way too much leeway there. Fact of the matter is, anytime I open up to go reteach the pre-trib rapture or eternal security or the King James Bible, the fact of the matter is, I have to go back through and renew. Okay? Usually, if it comes across fresh, it's because that's what it is. Because I just relearned it again, reevaluated it again these last couple of days. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to be renewed in spirit. Look in Psalm 96, would you? Let me give you just a handful of things real quick about being renewed in spirit. Look in Psalm 96. I tell you what you can get. You can get a new song. Now, we normally connect a new song with Psalm 40, and, you know, He brought me up out of a miry pit, put my feet on a rock, established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, right? That's a newly saved guy's song. Well, you're a bunch of old saved people. The Bible says, though, you should still have a new song. Look at Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Look in Psalm 144. Folks, a Christian needs a new song day by day. Maybe it's more like you need to sing a song anew. We just heard, I recall, I'm not sure who it was now, I heard somebody here fairly recently say that they've sung these songs their whole lives, but for the first time recently, now these songs mean something more to them. That's how you need to sing. Look in Psalm 144 and go down to verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, will I sing praises unto thee. You need a renewed song in your mouth, all right? You need to be able to come in here and go home in your car and stand in your kitchen and sing with a renewed vigor because you've been renewed in spirit, okay? Those songs need to be real. Now notice something else. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I promise you I'm not going to turn you to a million passages here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, just a few things. First of all, you need to make sure you lead somebody into being a new creature in Jesus Christ this year. And more than one if possible. Amen? The other thing is to make sure you are renewed in spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And go down to verse 6. Talking about some sin in the Corinthian church. There's a major issue going on. And he says in verse 6, these folks' attitude is not right. You're glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? All right? You got a church infected with leaven. Leaven does not just make bread rise. In the Bible, leaven is bad doctrine. In the Bible, leaven is sin. All right? Verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Said back there to make you a new lump. You know what you're reminded in? Since they're dealing with sin there, you are reminded one of the things that you should be renewed in is being separate from sin. I don't have all morning to preach on it. I preached on it some in Sunday school this morning. You need to renew your spirit as far as making sure that you stay separate from sin. That's not popular. We're never going to be a megachurch, much less a gigachurch. It just ain't going to work. But I can tell you this. You need to renew your spirit, your commitment, your resolve to be separate from sin. Sometimes that means being separate from friends. Sometimes that means turning off the stinking TV, and for that matter, the stinking radio. You need to make sure that you are separate. Look, you ain't too young to hear that. If you're 8 years old sitting in here this morning, you need to be separate from sin if you're saved. If you're 90 years old, and I don't think anybody is, you need to be separate from sin too. You're not too old for that. You need to have a new resolve. You need to be a new lump. You need to have a new song. I tell you something else. You need new zeal. You need to be renewed in zeal. You need to be renewed in hope. Is that hope real to you? The hope of Jesus Christ coming back? Is it real? I mean, did you wake up this morning thinking, okay, it's 2012. Jesus Christ could be back any day. It ain't about the Mayan calendar. It's not about the Incan calendar. It's about Jesus Christ making up His mind that it's time. Okay? How about How about a new creature? How about being renewed in spirit? And how about this? I don't have a verse for you on this. You'll see, though. I don't need one. How about some new victories? Boy, word travels fast. And we'll all hear. 2012, somewhere, somehow, some way, about some minister falling, some ministry falling, some missionary falling. Happens every year, somewhere, somehow, right? We are all too aware, we're often reminded, and well, we are, that we live in a day where there's a great falling away and things are getting dark for Christians, right? Reminded of all those things. Let me tell you this. None of those things are going to change. Tell you what you're going to do in 2012, as a man, as a woman, as a Christian, you're going to fail somewhere. The old man's going to get one up on you, and you're going to fail in something. But I can tell you this. You need to win some new victories this year. Now, I know how this goes. You've been saved for a long time. And I don't know what the giants in your life are. I don't know what the stumbling blocks are. I don't know what the willful, habitual sin is in your life. I don't know what the character flaw is that God's been dealing with you about for a long time. I do know this. I know that most of you, you got saved some years back, maybe recently, but some years back for most of us, and some of you fought the giant of alcoholism and won. And maybe you don't smoke anymore either. And maybe you don't beat your husband anymore either. Those are excellent victories to win. But I can tell you this right now. You need to get off your spiritual duff and win a new one. Because I can tell you this right now. I know how this works. It's really easy to try to bask for years in a past victory. If you're not winning a new victory in 2011 and now 2012, something's wrong. I'll tell you that right now, okay? You need to win a new victory in 2012. You need to deal with something God has been dealing with you about, and you have played around with it a little bit, and you pray about it, and you ask maybe a brother or sister, you confess your faults, and you'll have them pray for you, but you are not really serious yet about fixing it. You know, most of you are aware, if you've been in my house, that, well, I burn wood. And downstairs, I have a, if you've been down there, you know, I have the wood stove, you know, in the fireplace insert. There's kind of a sunken, semi-round pit down there in front of the fireplace. And I carried in a few years back this big, round cross-section of a trunk of an oak tree. It's easily this big around, and it stands about this tall. And it serves a purpose. I mean, you need some place to sit if you're going to build 100 fires a year. Okay? And you got to set somewhere to stir the coals and get stuff in and all that. So it serves a purpose. It's this big around. It's this tall. When it was green, it would have weighed easily 100 pounds. Okay? It now has been down there. It's been dried for all these years. And I got thinking about that. I was thinking about it because, you know, I noticed the other night the darlings were over at our place, and Caleb sat there on the edge of the pit and kind of straddling that piece of wood with my hatchet and just kind of clunking on it, like clunk, clunk, clunk. I've seen every one of my kids, every one of my boys do that. In the center of that big old piece of cross-section of oak, there's this bowl-sized dip where those kids have sat literally for hours through the years, clunk, just a hatchet, not an axe, not a maul, just a hatchet, clunk, clunk. It's just sawdust in there. It's caved out like this because they've sat for so long and clunk, 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 clunk. Would you stop it? Oh, sorry. Well, you say, Brother Stevens, what's that thing for? Well, like I said, you sit there and you serves its purpose. You sit there and you start a fire, you stir the coals, you put new stuff in. It's been down there. I was trying to figure out, because I started thinking about this. It's been there and down there for at least 8 years. I'm not sure it's the only one I've ever had down there, but this one's been down there at least 8 years. I mean, it is dried out now. It's ready to go. I never did carry that thing outside. If I carried it outside, all I'd have to do is pick it up, walk out the door, set it down, and I am pretty certain with about four swings of a maul, I could quarter it into four pieces. Or, if there were to be a hidden knot in it, all I got to do, I have a splitter at the house right now, put it in a wheelbarrow, trundle it up the hill, crank up the splitter, split that baby down in no time flat. But I never have. And I think about all the, 8 years times 7 to 9 cords of wood per year. That's a lot of cords of wood. And this is the only stump I've ever had inside, I think, in all those years that have just that's just set there. And all the times, all the wood that has been brought, cut, split, stacked, hauled to the stove, and then burnt, that thing has set there whole, unmolested, unburnt, unsplit. It serves its purpose. Nothing wrong with that, right? But I got thinking, you know, maybe that's why you haven't won a victory over something you need to. Maybe there's something that serves a purpose for you. You see, when folks struggle for years with self-pity, I have come to the conclusion they would rather pity themselves than defeat it. If somebody struggles year in and year out with laziness or bitterness or unforgiveness, the fact of the matter is, the reason they're lazy, bitter, unforgiving, self-serving little twits is because they're happier that way. See, sometimes we play around with sin. Just like Seth did, just like Daniel did, just like Joseph does, just like Caleb did the other night. Once in a while, you walk past your problem and you sit down there and you go, clunk, clunk. Let me tell you something. A piece of oak this big around, you don't split it with a hatchet. Just for the record. You need an 8-pound maul or you need a wood splitter. And I suppose if you sat there and clunked it forever, you might eventually start, you know, peeling off some sections of it. I'm not really sure. But that's no way to defeat sin. See, one of the reasons some of you guys haven't won victories over you, what you know full well God's dealing with you about, what God's dealt with you about for years, is because you satisfy yourself with walking past it once in a while, sitting down and clunking on it with a hatchet, pretending that's the real thing. That's not. Your sin serves its purpose. Truth is, you like it. If you're a self-serving little twit, if you're self-pitying, if you can't control your temper, the fact of the matter is, you like it. And you would rather keep it than go through the hassle of carrying it out and taking care of it with a wood splitter. Right? I'll tell you what you need in 2012. You need to win somebody to Jesus Christ. You need to renew your own spirit. You need a new victory over something you know full well you're supposed to have already won. You need that. Let me tell you something else. It wouldn't be a bad thing if we got a new body in a new location either, would it? There's a day coming when we shall be changed. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. Come the day when the heavens themselves will split open. Here comes Jesus Christ. The trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised, and we shall be raised incorruptible. Okay, that would be a great thing to happen in 2012. But guess what? You can't control that. You can do right till He comes. You can pray that He comes. Maybe you can change His mind about coming sooner. But you can't do a thing about that. In some measure, you don't just go out and win somebody to Christ just because you want to. God has to be involved. The gospel has to get in there. The Holy Spirit has to work. So, You can't make that happen. But I tell you this, you ain't catching no fish if you ain't going fishing. I have not caught a fish in 15 years. You know why? Because I ain't been fishing. It'd be pretty stupid for me to expect a fish dinner to show up on my doorstep and have to clean fish if I ain't going fishing, right? All right. You can't always control who or what or how many you win. But you ain't winning any unless you go fishing. Okay? You can control whether you are renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I'll grant you that you need the power of God and you need wisdom and power and help and grace and mercy to be able to defeat something in your life and get a new victory. I'll grant you that, but I will also grant you that you can't have a victory if you ain't fighting. And just coming down and plopping down here and shedding a tear or two when you feel bad about stuff, until you don't feel so bad about stuff, that's sitting down in my basement, in my pit, straddling my cross section of oak, clunking on it with a hatchet like it's been clunked on for 8 years. And it still's not split. It's still not defeated. It's still not in the stove. I mean, it serves a purpose for me. I like it there. I sit on it. So I don't plan to split it. But I know how to split it if I want to split it. And there are some things that you probably need to haul out of your basement, take up the hill to the splitter, and split it. Because you need a new victory. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for your love and goodness to us. It's 2012. Most of us, when we got saved, when we got right, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, never thought we'd stand here and say it was January 1st of 2012. In many regards, Lord, it's a privilege to live in this day. We are lights in this world, salt, and we ought to take this as a challenge. Father, you've left us here. You've entrusted us with some things. I pray you'd help us. And Father, I appeal again that we've suffered some losses. We've seen some of our brothers and sisters fall as casualties in this battle, and we miss them. We are relatively powerless to get them back. Father, we can try to go make some more, though, and I pray you'd help us do so. Help us win some victories in our lives, Father, and not fall in love with our sins and get used to our sin to the extent that we just allow it to hang around when it ought to be somewhere else. Father, I pray you'd help us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 10 this morning and stand. Pretty sure I'm talking to all saved people this morning, but if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me ask you to come forward this morning. We'd love to show you out of the Bible how to be saved. We'd love to do that. In the meantime, for us Christians, while the new year as such doesn't mean much to us, there are only so many things you can make anew. I think I've covered them this morning. If you don't accomplish these things this year, you're not going to accomplish anything new. Number 10. Make an appeal to you, give you an opportunity to come if you feel a movement of the Spirit. Problem is, we kind of flirt with sin and dally with it and fiddle with it. I bet there are things at your house that should have been fixed. A leaky faucet,
a squeaky door, a hinge that's not tight. I bet there's stuff that maybe it's more than one step. Should have been taken care of a long time ago, and it's irritating and all that, but you just never resolve. Take care of it. Man, people do that with sins. Sometimes those sins take root and grow deep. Before you know it, they're 30 years deep in this sin. Maybe it's temper. Maybe it's sloth. Maybe it's prayerlessness. If you're not careful, that thing will be so deeply rooted that it's going to be a much tougher job to root it out than it should have ever been. Don't accept old failures, all right? Commit to getting a new victory. You beat cigarettes, you beat fornication, you beat living a party lifestyle, you beat dope, you beat maybe your temper, maybe you beat something else. But I'm telling you that right now, there's not a soul standing in this room that it doesn't know for sure that God's still dealing with him about something that he needs to win a victory in. You need that victory this year. You need that victory this week. Today's a good day to start. Father, we are asking you to help us here. We are weak. We know it. We are besieged by this world and by seducing spirits, all manner of influences. And Father, we need your help and protection. We need to make sure we're behind the bulwarks of God's will. Father, I pray you'd help us, give us strength to win battles we need to this year and this day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, we are so glad to have you this morning. We are planning to be back tonight. 6 o'clock, normal time, we're going to have three guys preach. And then we'll have some food. So try to bring some food tonight. And if you have any questions, I think Marcia's in the nursery this morning. So, ladies, any questions you have, feel free to stop by and let her know what you're going to do. So, we are dismissed. We'll see you tonight.